Now, this morning, I want to deal with a subject that I feel like is very appropriate, irregardless of who might be listening to the service this morning. I've entitled it, Forgetting What We Go After. I don't know about you, but I'm one of those, I guess, common individuals that would forget his head if it wasn't tied on. And there are many things that we continually forget. Like you go to the store and you get there and then wonder, what am I doing here? I came to get something and what was it? You come back home and as soon as you drive in the driveway, then it dawns on you what you went after in the first place. We become disgusted with ourselves and realize that we wasted a trip, still don't have what we wanted and had to have, and then turn around and go back to get it. Now in the Bible, there's an interesting portion of Scripture that reminds us that this is a problem especially Christians have regarding the truth of God, the obligations that God gives us. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 through 15, Peter says, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of the truth. He implies that they would forget it, and that they would need a continual reminding of the things they had heard before. As long as I am in this earthly body, I will continue to stir up your remembrance. The Lord's Supper really is a service that the Lord instituted because He wants us not to forget Him. Of all people to forget as a Christian would be Christ. And yet, that's one person that so many Christians forgets to remember. And so Jesus said, this is my body, take, eat, as He broke it and prayed about it. He said, do this in remembrance of me. I mentioned this some time ago on the radio program, and it was a long time before I realized what Christ was trying to get us to remember. I don't think anyone forgets that Jesus Christ is their Savior. But the one thing that Jesus was asking that He be remembered for was that He was the Lord. And ironically, that's why the Bible calls it the Lord's Supper and not the Shepherd or the Savior's Supper. Because the one thing that man normally is prone to do, he is to forget who's to wear the crown. And he'll come to the Lord's table, and instead of the Lord being able to wear the crown, you'll find the Christian wearing it. That is, the Christian says, I'm the boss of my life, I'm going to run my life to suit myself, and God is not in control of me, I'm in control of myself. And the Lord says, oh, you forgot the very basic meaning of Christianity. You gave your life to me. You gave your allegiance to me. You gave your freedom to me. I am the Lord, and you are my servant. I am the Lord, I am the shepherd, and you are the sheep. And so we come to the Lord's Supper, we need to remember not that Christ is Savior, but that Christ is the Lord. And that's one thing that many Christians just seemingly never can remember, who's supposed to be the boss, who's supposed to lead, who's supposed to have control in the Christian life. So every time you have the Lord's Supper, Jesus said, now remember who's the boss. I'm the Lord. Remember who's to wear the crown. Now, Jesus said He had to put us in remembrance of some important things, and Peter said he had to cause his listeners to remember certain things. Let me ask you this. If you were to select one thing above all other things that you felt a Christian should remember and should not forget, what would you pick? What is the one thing, the most important thing, that you ought to remember as a Christian? Well, if you took a survey, you'd probably come up with a list as long as the sheet of paper you were writing on. And from my observation over the years that I've been a Christian and in the ministry, and I've talked to people inside the church and outside the church, especially American people, maybe we could even say most of the people in the world would do the same thing. No matter what was written on the paper, I am convinced that the one thing that man says that you ought to remember above everything else to please God now is that you ought to remember to be religious. I believe that's the number one thing that most people would agree on. You need to remember to be religious. Now, the Apostle Paul, one time, was visiting in Athens. While there, he made this comment in Acts 17, 22-23. Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill. He had a congregation of listeners around him, philosophers, learned men of the day. And he said to these men, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are most religious." Now, these were not Christian men, but Paul said they were religious men. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions to all your many gods, I even found an altar with the inscription, 'To the unknown God.'" And so even back in the days of Paul, it seemed that if man was going to do anything that concerned being religious or being godly, it was that he would be associated in some way with religious idols or religious talk or religious discussion or religious devotion. No matter what civilization you go back to, you'll find that men have always seemingly been religious. They've had some kind of worship, some kind of deity, some kind of God, some kind of ritual that they all believed in. And today you can travel all over the world and you will find basically that the world is religious. There are sacred temples practically everywhere. You have sacred books of all kinds of religious people. You have sacred prayers said to thousands of gods. You have sacred songs written to commemorate the deities that they believe in. I would have to say today that man is a religious creature. And if he does not have a religion, then he'll just make himself up a religion. And thus it's natural, as man sees the emphasis being placed on religion around the world, it's natural for a Christian to think that the most important thing to remember is that he ought to be religious. Today, some of the most important jewelry sales are religious jewels. That is, some of the most important jewelry sales today are the religious sales. All you have to do today is drive down the street and you see all the religious slogans that people stick on their bumpers and stick on their back windows. Most everyone in America has at least one Bible. I remember not too long ago a man asked me how I got response on the radio. And he said they offered Bibles to people and they couldn't even get the people to write in for free Bibles. And I thought to myself, well, probably they've already got five or six of them. They don't want another one. They don't read the ones they have, probably. But, of course, that's a religious activity, reading the Bible. But, you see, just having a Bible, that makes you religious. Just laying a Bible on the coffee table when somebody walks in, they see that Bible and immediately they say, oh, this is a religious home. Of course, you can be religious by placing your name on some church membership roll. You may never go, but the point is, just being associated, that makes you religious. You may have a little thing hanging on your wall that says, "God bless this home," with that little plaque on the wall, you see, that identifies you with God, identifies you with the Christian religion. So that in itself, you see, makes you religious. There's all sorts of Bible mottos today sold in bookstores that a lot of people buy these, hang them in their homes, and it makes them feel like they're on God's side because they have these things reminding them that they are religious people. A young man was one day walking down the street who had a Bible under his arm. And he met a friend who asked him, he said, "Where are you going?" And the young man with the Bible under his arm said, "Well, I've heard a lot about Miami this time of the year and the pretty girls and the nightclubs
I understand you can really have a good time down there, and I'm going to go and see for myself. And so the fellow said, well, what's the purpose of the Bible? You're not a preacher, and you're not going to go down there and preach. What are you taking the Bible for? And he said, well, if it's as much fun in Miami as I heard, I might even stay over an extra day, which will be Sunday, and I might even go to church. And so I want to have my Bible with me. And you see, for that young man, going to church on Sunday and carrying a Bible made him religious. And that sort of covered up everything he was about to do in Miami that somebody might say or question as being Christian. But the point is, that young man was religious. And anyone who would see him on Sunday morning walking down the street with a Bible in his arm said, ah, now there goes a religious man. And of course, the three things that make you the most religious would be going to church. And secondly, praying. And thirdly, reading a Bible. These are the most three common religious activities that men think of when they think about being religious. And so if man wants to be religious, real religious, really, really, really religious, then he'll practice these three things. But is that what God wants us to remember most? Is that the very one thing that's more important to God than anything else, that we be religious? Now, Paul found men in Athens, not Christians now, but these men were religious. They would go to their church or their temple, and they would read their philosophies, which would be their scriptures, and they would pray maybe three or four times a day. They were not Christian people, but Paul said they were religious people. Sometimes when I visit somebody who's dropped out of church, they quickly let me know that they haven't dropped away from God. They still read their Bible, or they still have Christian mottos hanging in their home, or they still pray every day. They still go through activities that indicate they're religious. Of course, they're not wrapped up in any kind of duties. Because, you see, you don't have to do any kind of a duty to be religious. It's easy to be religious. And that's why I think a lot of people feel like this is the most important thing to remember. Because it's easy to do. And most folks are looking for an easy way, they think, to go to heaven. Looking for an easy way, they think, to please God. Looking for the easy way, they think, to live the Christian life. And so the easiest way to do it is be religious. Now, let me show you how easy it is to be religious. If you wrap your Christmas present in sacred, or at least wrapping paper at Christmas time that has sacred figures on it, or pictures of Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus and angels, if you have what they call religious wrapping paper, and you use that on some of your presents under your tree, you qualify to be religious. Huh? Or if you name your child Nathaniel, or you name your child Jonah, why, that's a Bible character name, and that in itself, why, that makes you religious. Or if you hang a picture of Christ in your house somewhere, and somebody walks in and sees that picture, well, that picture alone qualifies you to be called religious. Now, the most popular way to be religious today, I guess, is to wear a cross. And there are hundreds of different kinds of crosses that people wear. And so anybody wearing a cross is religious. Or if you go to the music store and you buy you a sacred album, they call them. Or you go to a Christian concert. Well, that makes you religious. Or if you have a church down the street that has somebody in it that you know, and they sell you a church bond to help build a new church, well, that makes you religious. You're supporting God's work. That makes you religious. Or if you go to the bookstore or to a card store and you look for a Christian greeting card, that makes you religious. Why, a lot of folks call up, never darken the door of a church and call up the preacher and say, hey, I want to get married. I want to have a church wedding. Why? You know, what's the deal? Well, I want to have a religious wedding. See, you can be religious without even halfway trying. I mean, you can go down and buy a 25-cent bumper sticker and slap it on your bumper, and that makes you religious. Doesn't cost a whole lot to be religious. Doesn't demand a whole lot of anything of anybody to be religious. Now, what's the reasoning behind being religious? Why is it felt to be the thing that you must not forget above all else? I think Jesus reveals the answer why most people would say being religious is the thing that really matters. In the book of John, in the 5th chapter, he was talking to the most religious people of his day. And he said to them, you do not have God's Word abiding in you. He didn't say you don't have a Bible. Or he didn't say you don't ever read the Scriptures. He said you don't have the Word of God abiding in you. In other words, it doesn't have any effect on you. In searching the Scriptures, you suppose that you will get possession of eternal life. But life is in me. And not to come to me is not to have life. So what the Jews were doing, you see, they were reading the Scriptures. And as they searched the Scriptures, they would say, well, we are religious. And they felt, just by reading the Scriptures, that entitled them to salvation. That entitled them to God's goodness and God's favoritism and, of course, last of all, God's resurrection and eternal life. Just being religious, they felt, put them automatically on God's team. If they would just read the Scriptures, then God would forgive them. Automatically, no questions asked. They would have God's favor, no questions asked. God would smile upon them, no questions asked. Today you have a lot of people who are banking their whole eternity on the very aspect that they're religious people. Besides, they claim to be good people, they would rather say, I'm good, but I'm also religious. I'm a good religious person. I'm decent. Law-abiding citizen, by that, they're good. And then they have something about their home or about their life that they say makes them religious. And because they are good in their eyes and they are religious in their eyes, then God will have to give them salvation. God will have to consider that they are on His side. God will have to give them forgiveness for their sins. And they really believe that that's the way God operates. And that's the most important thing that God wants. And it's through being religious that man convinces himself that he is entitled to heaven and all of God's goodness and the inheritance gifts that God wants to give. Now, you can be religious and ignore the poor. You can be religious and never set your foot inside a church house door. You can be religious and be as crooked as a barrel of snakes in your daily business activities. You can be religious and lay up one treasure for yourself in heaven. You can be religious and let the lost people find you perish. You see, you can be religious and not change anything about your life. Not change your vocabulary, not change your living style. You can be religious and stay the way you are. I mean, Castro could be religious in Cuba. All he would have to do is to walk into some church, and he could do that. Just pick up a Bible and read it, and he could do that. He could even say a prayer and not even mean it, and that'd make him religious. Now, is that all that God asks? That's the way a lot of people think. That's what they're basing their whole eternity on, that kind of reasoning. Now, I'm not saying this day that the Christian should not be religious. Far from me to say that. For the Bible clearly teaches that we are to sing to the Lord. We are to identify our home as being Christian. Identify our life as being Christian. We are to pray without ceasing. And that's a form of worship. We are to search the Scriptures. There's no doubt about that. We are not to forsake the assembly of the gathering together of the saints. We are to attend the worship house of the Lord. Christians are to be religious. But the question is that enough? Is that enough? And I believe that's the question that you're going to have to really answer. Is that sufficient to please God? Is that enough? If that's all you have going for you to save you when you die, is that enough? Just to be identified with some religious slogan, a religious book, a religious item, a religious ritual, a religious activity, is that enough? Now, it may soothe your mind and calm your nerves and ease your tensions, but are they enough to please God, redeem your soul, and guarantee you the favor of God in this life? I'm not saying being religious is not important, but is there something that's more important? That's what we start out with. What is the most important thing to remember as a Christian? Is it to be religious? I do not believe so. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:5 about a group of people that had nothing going for them but their religion. He said, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. From such people, turn away. What's he saying? He's saying here that on the outside, they look pretty good. They talk pretty good. They have a religious look about them, a religious lingo about them, but they have no power. That is, they deny that God is able to transform their life. They deny the power that they claim to have, and the Holy Spirit is that power. But folks, the kind of power the Holy Spirit is a life-changing power. He doesn't just make you religious. He makes you something else. He makes you righteous. He's not called the religious spirit. He's called the Holy Spirit. He makes a man holy. He doesn't just make a man religious. A man can be religious and not be holy. He can say a prayer and cuss the next 3 minutes. You see, you can be religious and not be holy. But if you're holy, you won't cuss the next 3 minutes. Now, he says you deny the power thereof. The Holy Spirit is a life-transforming person. He'll give unto us the power to bring about a new life. That's his purpose in us. And I might add, it's a holy life. It's not his purpose to make us religious only, but it's to make us righteous as well. Now, I believe the Bible is clear in this, without a doubt. In 1 Corinthians 1:2, Paul wrote to the church of God, and he says, you're called to be religious. You say, that's not what it says. That's right, it's not. You're called to be saints. Now, it's harder to get a man to be a saint than it is to get a man to be religious. There's going to be changes required, changes made, if a man's going to be righteous. Nothing has to be changed for a man to be religious. What about the religious activities that we go through? Well, let's look at them. Colossians 3:16 regarding singing. You know what our singing is supposed to do to us? Colossians 3:16, teach and admonish one another in hymns and spiritual songs. Admonish one another. 2 Timothy 2:15, regarding reading the Bible. Why do you read it? Study to show thyself approved unto. God. A workman that need not be ashamed. Now that's righteous living. That stresses righteousness, not religious. How about prayer? 1 Thessalonians 3:10, Paul said, I pray that you might be perfect. And I pray that we might, when we come to see you, perfect what is lacking in your life. That's talking about righteousness. We must not forget why God saved us. Not to make us religious. Romans 8:29, He predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. In Ephesians 4:24, we are told to put on the new man. You don't have to do anything to put on the religious act. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The one thing that we must remember is that God will not be pleased with us until we begin to seek after the righteous and holy character and life of Jesus Christ. The number one thing that we must remember is that God saved us that He might transform us into the image of His Son. And if you are being religious as a substitute for being righteous, then God is not pleased. And God will not accept this. The thing that we must stress as Christians is not that a man should be religious and that satisfies God, but that a man should be righteous through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that is what satisfies God. That's what God is longing for. That's what it means to be called to be a saint. Anybody can be religious, but only a man empowered by the Spirit can be righteous. It's all right to be religious, but not unless you're righteous with it. May God bless until next Sunday.